Bethsaida family and friends, as pastor, we say good morning to all of you as we come unto you, as we are on stay vacation, and even on stay vacation, we want to worship God because he's still God. So but we're not going to preach today. We have a guest, if we can get him in. And I can't, I know you're listening, but I think you need to try to get in again. I saw you first time, but I don't think I caught any time, so try. You may have to try calling back where I can bring you in. Minister Ken Davis is going to bring the word for us this morning. He is the former assistant pastor and the children's church director at the Beth a while back. And he was such a blessing when he was at the Beth. We certainly know we're going to be blessed this morning by his time with us. So we're certainly glad to have him with us this morning. And he's going to come and take over the service from now. Then I'll pray with him as he comes. We're looking forward to him preaching for us. So, Ken, can you hear us now? Can you?
I can hear you.
All right. Y'all hear? Okay. I think we can all hear him. So we're going to pray with him today as he leads us in worship and hear what God has to say to us through him. All right, Ken, it's in your hands. Oh, Ken, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. We do want you to pray for Harley. Harley is a teenager one of the friends of our family who's in ICU. It's a she, right? Yes, so she's in ICU. So they pray for her. She's having some complications. And her mom has asked for prayer on them, Harley, like in Harley Davis. So as you pray, would you pray for her? All right, it's in your hands, Ken.
All right. Good morning, Bethsaida. It's so good to even be in the podcast presence with you. First, I want to give honor to God and all that he has done for us. Even through COVID, God is still proven to be God, and the word is still going forth. We also thank God for your pastor, my pastor, and my father in the ministry, of all his wisdom and that insight that he pours into us constantly. We thank God for him and also his helpmate, and Cheryl. We thank God, two great individuals and their daughter, Gabby. We are so blessed by this family. Pastor Williams has been a great mentor for me in my ministry and time preaching. So I just thank God for the experience of being able to preach this sermon to you, even if it's through podcast. And it's just good to see family members who I haven't seen, speak to family members of Bethsaida who I haven't seen in a while. But we thank God that you can hear my voice, and I can also see the many responses that are coming across the screen. It's just good to conversate and to speak in this, in the way that we can in this time. We just thank God for everything that's happening. In spite of the COVID, in spite of sickness, we know that God is still relevant and God is still purposeful in our lives. And the reason why we stand here today, we just want to celebrate the word of God. I want to go ahead and start with a prayer. And then we'll leave from prayer and go into scripture. I know I was given the name Harley. So we wanted to make sure we lift Harley up in prayer too as well. And I know there are many other names that have not been lifted up to me, but we know that the Spirit of God will lift up any names that need to be lifted up, as the Spirit will make intercession for us all. But let us go to God in prayer. Dear gracious Father God, we come to you as humble as we know how. Father God, thanking you, dear Lord, for you being God all by yourself. There is no other God that we can call upon that will answer and that will show up and will prove themselves to be real. Father God, you are God that sits high and look low. Father God, you are God that intervened in your creation. Father God, you are God that works miracles. You are God that open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and tell the dead to live again. Father God, you are God all by yourself. So, Father, as we come to you, Lord, not to change your will, but, Lord, we ask that you would change our will. We pray, dear Lord, that your will be done and not our will be done. Father, let your will be done on this earth this day, Heavenly Father. Father, we lift up to you, Lord, those who are sick, those who need to hear from you right now, dear Father God. We know that Harley, who is in ICU, we pray that you would touch their body right now, Father God. Do what the doctors cannot do. See what the doctors cannot see. Touch what the doctors cannot touch. Father God, we know that you are able. Mother may be worried. Family may be worried. Loved ones may be worried. But Father God, we know that you have no need to worry because you are God all by yourself. Father God, we also pray, dear Lord, that you would keep your hands upon Bethsaida and all the future things that you have for Bethsaida. Keep your hands upon our pastor, dear Heavenly Father, Lord. You know, Lord, what you have in store for him, the greatness that you have in store for him. Father, touch his family. Touch those who support him, the Father. Touch the congregation. We know that ministry is always difficult. We know that ministry is always comes with complications. But there's no difficulty. There's no complication, God, that you cannot handle. What may be difficult for us, dear Lord, is no problem for you. Well, it may be a complication for us, dear God, no complication for you. So, Father God, we pray that you have your way. Have your way. And then, Father, I pray that you are spirit, that your spirit would abide in me as I prepare to preach this sermon through this podcast. Father God, I ask that your spirit reach past the podcast, reach past my imperfections, reach past my mistakes, my flaws, my errors. And Father, let your word go forth. Father, we are trusting you for all of your through faith that cannot be outdone. Father, we know that you are able. We know that you're willing. We just ask that you just have your way in this service today. Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The text that I want to share with you today is Exodus Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 through 10. I'm not sure of the time constraint, but if someone can kind of remind me, I'm not sure of the time constraint, but we'll try to stick within the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit have his way. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. When you have it, it reads, I'll give everyone a moment to get there. Exodus 4, 1 through 10. It reads, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom, and he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to the voice, that they shall take the water that, excuse me, thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou hast taken out of the river shall become blood upon dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." I want to use for a subject for for the sermon of this morning, understanding what's in your hand. Understanding what's in your hand. Go with us, Lord. Early in our marriage with my wife, which now I would tell you has been over this year, next month would be 26 years next month. But early in our marriage, I found out that I was not very good with tools. And oftentimes she would give me the project of hanging picture frames or doing construction projects around the house. And I found out early that I was not good with a hammer or a nail. I couldn't put together things too good. Early in our marriage, I remember we brought a large TV stand, probably about maybe about 6 feet high, probably about 3 or 4 feet wide. And if you constructed it right, it could hold a TV and pictures and all kind of whatnots. And I can remember we brought this TV stand home and we began to assemble it. And I was excited about the finished product. And we followed the instructions. So I thought from beginning to end and stood the TV stand up. And the TV stand, once I looked at it, some of the shelves were in backwards. The glass wasn't attached properly and I couldn't readjust it. And so for years, we kept that TV stand with all of its flaws and imperfections. But I learned through the experience that I was not good with tools. Also, the tools, I couldn't use tools to hang pictures. Couldn't drive a nail straight. Didn't understand the concept that you don't just drive a nail into the wall to hang pictures. You have to have something to anchor that nail into the wall so it doesn't move. But all the time I would just put nails on the wall to hang pictures. And it may stay for a day or so, but then something vibrates on the wall and the picture would fall. I wasn't very good with tools. Those tools in my hand were not the same as a carpenter, because a carpenter understood the concept of working with tools. I myself struggled with hammers and nails. And a few years later, sometime into our marriage, maybe about 10 or so years into our marriage, I acquired a Black & Decker drill set. I thought surely this would make me a better with projects around the house. And so I began to take on bigger projects and to try to put things around the house, pictures or mount things on the wall. And I thought for sure that this would make me better. But all it did was make me realize the inadequacies and how much more damage I could do, because I wasn't good with a hammer and a nail, and I most definitely wasn't good with a drill set. So not being good with a hammer and a nail doesn't make any better when somebody gives you a Black & Decker drill set. A lot of times I would go through the house and I would see where I attempted to put holes in the wall. There'd be multiple holes in the same spot for a picture frame or for a curtain rod. And I realized, man, I'm just not that good at this stuff. But when I think about it, I wasn't good when I first started. But it was the struggle in the years going by, the struggle of learning, making mistakes, having pictures fall, having TVs fall, having things that you put together fall down. It was the struggle that I began to learn my biggest lessons. The struggle of realizing that the TV stand didn't look right, realizing that the picture frame was crooked, realizing that all of my imperfections was because of my inexperiences. But as time went on, I began to grow. I began to learn about wall mounts and studs and levelers. And when you find a stud, if you put a nail into a stud and if you level it off, it'll stay in the wall strong and it wouldn't fall down. But I couldn't get to that point of growth until I began to struggle in the process. And struggle brought on growth. Bethsaida, don't be afraid of struggle. Do not be afraid of struggle, because if you struggle, with struggle comes growth. Especially when you walk with God, God will increase your struggle, and struggle will grow and bring the best out of you. There's nothing wrong with being there's nothing wrong with being inadequate in the beginning. But what you don't want to happen is years on down the road that you still remain inadequate because you didn't trust God in the process. I can honestly say now, 25 years later, I hung a TV up in my game room. No TV stand, but I took a mount, mounted the mount to the wall. And now when I watch TV in my game room, it is mounted strong and it's not going to go anywhere because I took the time to use a stud finder and put the mount into the stud. Now hung the TV up and the TV stands securely and strong. And now when I watch my Lakers or my Chicago Bears, now when I watch them on TV, I can watch it knowing that it will not fall. Why? Because of the struggles and the ensuing growth led to the victory that now and the success now that I experience when I hang something up. I know that I can do it and be secure in the work that I did. Why? Because I trusted what I learned over the years. Let's get back to the text. You have to know that you know that you know that you know the things that you've been through in your life. You have to know that God knows what you don't know. That God can do what you cannot do. And what helped me to get better in those tools, what helped me to get better in those experiences was not giving up. And that's why I want to encourage you today. As we get back into this text, I want to encourage you, don't give up. You have to keep on believing, even when you don't understand. Believing is what I want to start at this morning. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses, in verse 1, it says, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Listen, Bethsaida, I'm not sure what project God has put upon you this morning. I'm not sure what mission that God has in store for you this morning. But whatever the mission is, whatever the project is, it won't work unless you have the right belief system. Moses was approached by God, and in chapter 3 and verses in chapter 4, Moses was approached by God because God had heard the cries of Israel, and he was ready to deliver them from captivity, and he had raised up Moses to deliver them. Raised up Moses. And now he comes to Moses and says to Moses, "I got a project for you." And then Moses hears the project. He hears the mission. He says, "God, they won't listen to me. They won't believe me. They won't hear my voice. They won't believe in me if I tell them that you sent me to believe me." Listen, Bethsaida, I don't care what God put before you. If you don't have the right belief system, if you don't have the right faith in God, it won't work. You have to have the right belief system. What's the belief system? A set of principles or tenets that you hang your life on.
Listen, there are some things that I wouldn't hang my life on. There are some things that I wouldn't hang the security of my family on. There are some things that I would not put, there are some things I would not put faith and belief in, because those things won't stand the test of the time. What you're talking about, Ken? What are some things that you wouldn't believe in? I wouldn't hang my life on this false teaching on same sex. It won't stand the test of time. I won't put my faith or my belief or my life on there are multiple genders, because in the Bible it tells me that God created male and female. I wouldn't put my faith on Scientology, because Scientology won't carry. Being good and believing in science won't carry you through the most difficult times. There's a whole lot of heresy out there. It may sound entertaining, but it's not very good theology. It's not very good in carrying people through the tough times. Well, Ken, if Scientology won't do it, if all this false teaching on salvation won't do it, if these multiple genders won't do it, then what would you put your life on? I remember reading the words of John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." That's my belief system. Those are things that I believe in, a set of principles, a rules that carries me. Jesus is the correct foundation to build on. Jesus is the correct wall stud that you can hang your life on. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And anything outside of Jesus coming down from heaven, putting on human flesh, dying on the cross, raising again on the third day, is anything besides that won't bring you through. That's what I hang my hope on. And that's what I hang my faith on, knowing the work of Jesus Christ, what he did for me, what he did for you. That is what we hang our hope and faith on. Don't trust your feelings in what the world is teaching. Don't trust what this world is teaching for your life. Only in what Jesus has done will work and will carry us. That's what we put our hope in. That's what we put our... Moses, you're right, Moses. They may not believe you, Moses. But Moses, what's your belief system? Who do you believe in, Moses? If you believe in me, then they'll follow you. So Moses, I need for you to have the right belief system. What are you hanging your life on? What is your belief system, Moses? What are you hoping in? If you're going to have a chance, you have to have the right belief system. Let's keep on going. Let's look at verses 2-9. We know that if God's going to call you, you have to have the right belief system. But then God shares something with us again through Moses' experience in verses 2-9. Verse 2-4. Verses 2-4, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, What is in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." Listen, if you accept this mission from God, Moses, if you choose to allow me to use you, and you go and free my people from Pharaoh in Egypt, if you have the right belief system, in spite of what you go through, I would be more than enough. I would be more than enough for you. Listen, get back to the text. Let's look at this for a minute. I need for you to understand this, Best Savior, that whatever God put before you, if you have a belief system, God will prove to you that he is more than enough. And as I read this text, I begin to look at this text and what God showed to me, I broke it down this way. He shows us a miracle. Then he shows us a history lesson. And then he shows us furthermore miracles. In verse 2 and 4, God shows us the first miracle. He says, Moses, he asked the question, Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses quickly identified it as a rod. But Moses was just looking on the surface level. He did not look deeper into a spiritual level. Sometimes you got to look deeper than the surface level. Yeah, yes, I know it looks like a piece of wood in your hand, Moses, but I need for you to deeply connect to what you really have in your hand. It's not just a rod, but what it really is a representation that I'm always with you, Moses. How do I know that it's not just a rod? Because when Moses said it was just a rod, God said, drop it. And when he dropped it, it turned into a serpent. I've never dropped a stick and it turned into a serpent. Whenever I dropped a stick, it either shattered or it stayed whole and I picked it right back up. But when Moses dropped it, it turned into a serpent because he was told by God to drop it. And when he dropped it, it turned into a serpent, which then tells me there was something different than when Moses dropped it and then when I dropped it. It's not just a rod, Moses. What it is a sign that I'm always with you. Then he says, pick it up. When he picked it back up, it turned back into a serpent. God is saying, I'm always with you, Moses. Listen, I got ahead of myself. Let me say this again. Let me go back and touch this issue. Moses dropped it the first time. He dropped it and then he fled from it. Oh my goodness. How many times God has given you something? And because when you see this full capability and the full power of what it really is, when you finally see it for what it really is, how many times have you ran from the thing that God has blessed you with? Don't be afraid of what God has given you. Moses, it's not just a rod, but it's a sign that I am with you. It's a miracle to let you know. No matter what you go through, Moses, I'm here with you. Listen. Let me go a little bit further. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5, it says, that they may believe that the Lord God of their father, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. Here, after verse 2 through 4, we saw a miracle, a representation of God. But then in the midst of the miracle, God takes the time out to give Moses a history lesson to tell Israel. So tell them if they don't want to believe you, Moses, if they don't believe the rod in your hand, then give them a history lesson. Well, Lord, what's the history lesson you want them to understand? What's the history lesson that applies right now? Well, tell them that I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. If they remember what I did for Abraham, how I made Abraham the father of many nations when he had no kids. If they can remember that I am the God of Isaac, the same Isaac that laid on the altar, but I had a ram in the bush for him. If they can remember that I'm the God of Jacob, who was a trickster that I finally tricked into working for me. If they can remember that I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the history lesson. We let them remember that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then verse 6 and 7. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom, and put his hand And he put his hand into his bosom, and he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, in verse 7 said, and he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out, and his bosom, plucked it out his bosom, and behold, it turned again as his other flesh. Right belief system. Understand? If you had a right belief system, if you believe, if you know that he's more than a conqueror, if you know his represent, that if you know that he's there always representing you, his spirit is always there fighting with you. And now he's, and if you remember the historical content of who God is, he's been there since the beginning of time, even before time God was there. And now he is saying to him, I'm the God of your health. No matter what you go through, Abraham, no matter how dangerous the mission is, no matter how dangerous the project is, if I am your God, I got you covered. They can't touch your health. They can't touch your mind. They can't touch your body. Whatever they do to you, Moses, I got you covered. It's good to know that whatever mission God sends me on, that my time is in his hand, that my health is in his hand. When Moses put his hand into his bosom and it came out as leper, God instantly changed his health. We know that leprosy was a skin disease. And then God instantly gave him a skin disease. And then he said, now put your hand back into your bosom. He pulled it back out again. God healed the skin disease. He gave it to him and he took it from him. That's security. That's comfort. It's good to know that if God sends me somewhere, that he's going to be with me in spirit. And that whatever I come through, whatever I go through, God is there to protect me in it. That I don't have to worry about my body. I don't have to worry about my mind. I don't have to worry about my soul. Because I put him first, he's going to take care of everything else. Somebody need to know that this morning. God has given you a promise. God has given you a vision. God has given you a mission. God has given you a project. And you are concerned what somebody's going to do. You are concerned about your health. The doctor's giving you bad news. The doctor has said that you only got several months to live. The doctor has said that it's cancer. The doctor has said something terrible, and you don't want to receive it. But I stopped by to tell you this morning that if you're working with God, God has the last say so. You don't have to be concerned about this world. You don't have to be concerned about this sickness because God has you covered. So God is in control of you. He's always with you. His presence is with you. He has your health in his hand. And then verse 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to thy voice, thou shalt take the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood, and upon dry land. Shall be the water unto dry land, and it shall become blood. God, who created everything, has the ability to take water out of rivers, oceans, seas, whatever he chooses to take it from. He created it. The concept of water is H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. He takes this water out of this source. He puts it onto dry ground. Neither where in this text does it say that the blood was blood in the water source. But only when he takes it out of the water source and puts it onto dry ground that it turns into blood. To me, scientifically, it does not make sense why I can't get along with Scientology. But what I do see here is that God, who created the rivers, who the oceans and the seas, can take water from any source he chooses from and put on the ground that he created and can make whatever happen he wants to happen. I don't need science to explain that to me. All I need to know that that's a miracle from God. God, who controls the water, God, who controls the land, God, who controls your health, God, who controls your destiny, God, who controls the blessings that you have. God controls everything. I stopped by to tell you this morning that God is more than enough, that whatever you're going through on this journey, he is more than enough. Whatever situation you face, God is more than enough. I don't know how many other ways I got to say this to you. Our God is more than enough. Listen, I'm about to get ready to close on this last note. I have to get ready for another Bible study, so I'm about to make this point, but I hope you follow with me. Verse 10. Actually, before I go to that verse 10, I want to say this. I need for you to understand the purpose of the rod that is in your hand. I don't know what your rod is. I don't know what mission God has set you on. But whatever the rod that God has given you in your personal life, if you understand what God did for Moses with his rod, if you follow the correct belief system that God shows us through Moses, then you will understand how to use the rod that is in your hand. I need to equate your rod, your gift, your representation of God in your life so you understand how it fits into the same narrative that was in Moses' life. When you understand the power of God working through Moses, then you understand how the power of God working in your life. But until you understand Moses, you can't understand yours. So what I need for you to gather and understand out of this sermon is to understand that whatever God did for Moses in his rod, he can now do for you in your rod. But you got to understand in historical context first. Once you have the right historical context, once you have the right biblical teaching, then you can apply it. Those same principles, those same belief systems, those same tenets, that whatever God did for them, he can do for you. Listen, whatever your rod is, maybe you're an intuitive, maybe you have a strong sense of what's coming next, almost what God is going to do in your life. Maybe you're a sensory, you need concrete information, concrete hand, sight, touch, smell, taste, whatever it is. Maybe you need to be able to see it, but whatever you are built for, God has it under control. Maybe your gift is teaching. Maybe your rod is teaching. Maybe it's preaching. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's strong prayer life. Whatever your rod is, I need for you to keep it in the right perspective. Understanding that God is all by himself is able to do what you can't do. And if you're going to do it, you have to have the right belief system. Listen. I'm going to close verse 10. Verse 10 and 12, I'm going to close on this note. And Moses said unto the Lord, My Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who made man's mouth, or maketh the dumb, or deaf, and seeing, or the blind, and have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. I'm going to close on this note. And I wish I had more time. I wish I can tell you that Moses ran away faithful to go speak to Pharaoh. I wish that this encounter from chapter 4, verses 1 through 10 was enough to convince Moses that God was in control. that his speech didn't matter, that them believing him did not matter. I wish this would have been enough for Moses. But the way the text goes, that wasn't enough. Moses still didn't believe. It took a little bit more to happen. But I want to close with this thought, coming from verse 10. God asked a question in verse 11. Who hath made man's mouth? Or maketh the dumb, deaf, or seeing, blind, and have not I the Lord? Who made man? Who made man's flaws? Who made man's strengths and weaknesses? It's the Creator who is able to carry us. It's the Creator that's able to do what we cannot do. All of my imperfections that I showed during this sermon can't stop God in all his power. All of my imperfections throughout my life cannot reduce who God is. But what my imperfection does is if I put my imperfections and put my faith in him, he will exceedingly exceed my imperfections. Listen, what I need for us to do is to have the right perspective. What I need for us to do is have the right perspective and understanding that it is God first. And when we put God first and then we see what God is doing, now we can find confidence in what he is doing. Look, I don't put confidence in myself because I'm flawed. I know I don't speak well. I know I have country grammar. I understand my imperfections, but my imperfections doesn't stop God. I know those of you who are listening on the podcast have imperfections. Whatever your imperfections is, don't be afraid of your imperfections. Your imperfection is just another way to God to prove to you how much God he really is. Don't be afraid of what your friends may say about you. Don't be afraid of what your foes may say about you. Don't be afraid of your imperfections. I don't care what you fail. I don't care how many times you falter. Every time you falter, every time you fail, stand up and say it's another chance for God to prove how great he is. I'm done. I know that life and this world has done its best to confuse us. And sometimes I sit back and I look at this world and I realize that the world's systems are doing a great job of confusing so many of us. And I wish I could say it was just the world that was being confused. But the older I get, sometimes I see that some of us believers are being confused by the world as well. Because we're not trusting in God, but we're trusting in what we see. And so many of us are falling by the wayside and we're not understanding where God has placed into our hand. We're letting the world determine the gift that God has given us. And I stopped by to tell you this morning, Bethsaida, you belong to God. I know I have to tell Bethsaida. I know Bethsaida already knows because Pastor Williams is teaching you. But I just want to remind you that you belong to God. Listen, there may be someone who's listening, who has been tricked by the world, and they've made you sit on your gift. They've made you sit down on a mission. Maybe there's someone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to offer this chance to you from Christ, the one who paid the ultimate price for your sin, for my sin, for all the world's sins. Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins. And the good news is that he just didn't die on the cross. He didn't just stay buried in a borrowed tomb. The key word there is borrowed. The good news, and what makes it good news, is that Jesus returned to borrow tomb. He rose again on the third day with all power. Listen, somebody here need to know that. Somebody here need to accept this Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I want you right now to make the message known on this podcast that you need to receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that you need to accept him as your Lord and Savior, that you need to put your life into his hands. If you don't know this Jesus that we talked about, if you don't know the most of this story that we talked about, an experience, an encounter, I want you to have this experience and to know that the God that we serve, that he is able. Make your message known. Make your message known that if you desire to have this relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins, rose again. And if you are saved, we thank God that you are saved, that you do know Jesus and the pardon of your sins. But maybe you have failed and faltered. Sometimes you listen to the message rather than listen to God, the message of the world rather than the message of God, and you lost sight. You lost sight of your gift. You lost sight of your purpose. You lost sight of the rod that's in your hand. If this is you, and you just want a prayer of rededication, a prayer of strength, just remain stronger. Make the message known on the podcast. I don't notice any messages coming up, but what I want to do, I'm going to pray anyway. And after I pray, I'll turn it back over to Pastor Williams. There may be someone who just may not want to make it known publicly, but we still want to pray for you anyway. And if that's the case, you don't want to make it known publicly, you can leave a message on the church line, which I think it says 903-915-0865. I'm going to say that again, 903-915-0865. Because the most important thing is that salvation, and that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that we do not fail on the mission, but that we put our faith in God. Dear gracious Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, for the ability to share your word. We pray that we share the accurate message. We pray that we represented your words with accuracy, that it was no kin, but that it was all you, Lord. Lord, that your word went forth, that someone will value their gift, value what they have in their hand, understanding that you are God all by yourself. Father God, we thank you, dear Lord. You're an awesome, mighty God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in this year, in every year that comes forward. We know that 2020, we know that 2020 and 2021 has presented us with some challenges. But even through those challenges, you are proving yourself to be God. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. In your Son, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thank y'all and have a blessed week.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. But sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story. We'll be right back.
The Lord, we thank Ken for bringing us the word today, and thank you, Bethsaida, for support. We've been blessed by the word of God. Amen. Now, Whatever God has put in our hand, we know what he can do with that thing. If we are trusting, put our belief system in him, and he is certainly will accomplish his mission through us. Thank you so much for joining in today. We hope you have a great day in the Lord and worship. And we see you all, the Lord say the same, on the first Sunday. And amen. As we wait for that first Sunday to get here where we celebrate them again, certainly we want to pray for the David family and for Miss Harley and all others that need prayer. And see God come through like he always does for us. So we just say, bless the Lord. Have a great, great day. Again, Ken, thank you for blessing us with the word. We so appreciate you agreeing to do that for us and being such a blessing today. Thanks again. Have a great day in the Lord, and we'll see you on the first Sunday at service again, if the Lord say the same. Enjoy your day.